Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Where you're really going to find out some information is right from this guy, Chuck Haynes, who is York County's Emergency Management Director. And trust me, when this man talks about getting prepared for emergencies, particularly during this month of September, how many years ago was it, 1989? We had this big old thing come through here called a hurricane. I believe its name was Hugo. And it just tore us apart. Thank heavens we had emergency preparedness.
Yep.
Because I can always remember all those years ago when we made preparations with your predecessor, Cotton Howe,
yep,
for the storm that was coming. And he provided us with some generating power, which we needed to have at that time. Don't need it any longer. And that's how we operated for, I think it was 13 days. People to this day who were here will say, I can remember at the top of the hour when you say we have to sign off here for about 60 seconds to put gas in the generator and check the oil. Were you here then?
So I was over in Sherall when the Hurricane Hugo came through, and so I was not old enough to run a chainsaw. I was old enough to drag all the limbs and logs out to the road, but no, I very much remember Hugo and the role that you played, your radio station played, during Hugo, as you describe it, is just hugely important. And even in today's time with internet and all this other stuff, when I went to Louisiana for Hurricane Katrina, the only way to get information was local radio. Everything was out.
Yeah.
And so those all the broadcasters down there all shared the airspace, and they reported, and that's what we listened to every night. As we were winding down our day, we would tune in to the local radio and figure out what's going on. But
I will always remember the tremendous sense of community that all of Rock Hill and York County demonstrated during that time, because all we were was a party line. People would call in, I'm here and I've got a tree through my roof, yep, whatever. And then 10 people would call in and say, look, I'm okay. I've got both arms and both legs. I'll be over there and bring you something. I mean, everybody was impacted.
And that's what it takes.
Everybody was absolutely, but they forgot about themselves to help out somebody else,
yep,
who was in real trouble.
That's right.
And we used to give updates from the local grocery stores about what they had.
Who had what?
They have batteries here. They have ice over here. They got bread over here. And we did this, throughout the course of because they couldn't get anything.
Yep. Hugely important.
It really was. It really was something. Quite an experience. I hope we never have to go through it
Me
again.
Me too. Me too.
But it is September, and we do have a lot of warm water out there, and hurricanes are something that South Carolina is familiar with.
Yep.
Right?
Hurricane Sam is out there right now.
Okay, let me go back to square one. Chuck, I think you need to tell everybody a little bit about you,
yeah,
because since you were last on this program, we've probably had, 10,000-20,000 people move into the community.
Absolutely.
They don't even know what emergency preparedness is.
Sure.
So go ahead.
So welcome to all the new neighbors that have come in. My name is Chuck Haynes. I'm the Emergency Management Director here in York County. And proudly have been here since 2015. Before that, I worked over in Pickens County as the Emergency Management Director. Before that, I was with the State Emergency Management Division, and before that, with Rock Hill City Fire Department. I did my college years at Winthrop University. I moved here from Sherrall in 1996, and I loved it and just couldn't leave. And then the secret got out, and everyone else came. So I'm pretty happy about being here on the beginning stages of the growth and got to see all that.
Well, so tell people what emergency management is all about, because as I understand it, there are emergency management offices basically in every county.
Every county.
Every county.
Required by state law, yes.
Is that true in other states?
I'm not sure about other states. Here in South Carolina, it is a state law.
And the whole concept is to get the community prepared.
Absolutely. To have a comprehensive program to bring together planning and capabilities and shortfalls and identify all those, and then have some way to overcome those if there is an emergency, to be able to respond appropriately. To have a prepared community is just as important as all the work as we do. The more people that can help themselves, the further we can stretch resources, and it just goes hand in hand. So you know, I'm here today to kind of pitch the September as being preparedness month. Every month is preparedness month for our office, but it's a time where we can remind the community that they can pause and take a second to prepare their family and themselves, and that way they can help their neighbors instead of themselves when something happens.
Now, I want to tell everybody, if you have not been down to the Emergency Preparedness Office, which is right there on Black Street, almost right across from the post office and by the railroad trestle.
Yep.
You can't believe is you all have great big 3-inch binders that are kind of broken down, I think, by category. Hurricane, flood, emergencies at the Catawba Nuclear Station.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know how many of those there are, but there's probably dozens of them.
Yeah.
And so you have thought through as best you can.
Yes.
How to respond to each one of those emergencies. Is that about right?
Yes. Keeping in mind that a lot of the skills and equipment that you have to respond to one certain emergency also lends itself to other emergencies. And so a lot of our preparedness that we do for the radiological program lends itself to the hazmat program. So a lot of times when we're developing concepts and skills and investing our time and resources and the public's money into trying to come up with a capability, that it spans across multiple subjects. So instead of spending a lot of time and energy on the worst case scenario, a lot of times we look at the most likely scenario and check those off the list, and then we can kind of work towards that worst case scenario, even though we know that worst case scenario is out there and we do plan for it. But we spend a lot of time on the most likely also.
You know, I was thinking here, I can't remember, was last year, the year before, whatever, we had so much rain.
Yes.
And it just rained and rained and rained. And they had to release, you know, the water from the dam.
Yep.
Which basically flooded everything on the backside of the
That's
dam.
That's right.
I always remember those pictures of the pump house, you know, with water basically up to the lower level.
Sure.
There. Those are the kinds of things that you get involved with.
Yes.
Yet you're kind of, I don't want to say a supervisor, but you are the umbrella agencies for all the other local agencies that are involved with these things.
Yes, we're the coordinating agency.
That's
so
it.
We don't necessarily lead the charge, even though in some instances, you know, widespread emergencies, we would have to. But, yeah, the coordination piece and the cooperation piece with all of our partners, both in, you know, the private sector, public sector, nonprofits, all these folks, you know, come together and help us plan and identify what's in the community and what needs are out there. And then when something does happen, just like you described with Hugo, the concept is everybody comes together to help.
And trust me, when something like that happens, there's obviously a quasi state of panic.
Sure.
And if you don't have somebody who's been thinking about this prior to it actually happening, then you would really have a mess because nothing would be coordinated, and it would be just everybody, you know, all over the place.
Sure, sure. And, you know, a lot of our efforts and energy is sort of behind the scenes, and we're okay with that. You know, we're not, you know, frontline fire department, EMS, law enforcement, even though we work with those folks. Our job is behind the scenes. We're like a hopefully a good insurance policy when you need us, you know, kind of hit the button and we activate and we're there and to get that recovery and to get back to that normal day of life again.
Now, people should also understand that these plans for these various scenarios are not just on paper. You actually drill on these things, do
we have
you not?
To. Yes, we have to.
So how does that work?
Yep, so, you know, every plan, even though you think it's thoroughly written and thoroughly thought about and fleshed out, until you actually put it in action, you never know exactly how it's going to work out. And so our training and exercise program is very, very important. You touched on our radiological program for the Catawba Nuclear Station. Every other year we have a graded exercise where FEMA comes in and actually evaluates us on how our responders can respond, how emergency management can coordinate, how we can alert and warn the citizens. All this stuff goes through a very stringent evaluation every other year. We have to prove to FEMA that we're capable of protecting the citizens during a scenario like that. So, and it takes a lot of effort to, from everyone in the community to get that done.
And you're basically graded on that, and you get to see from another person's perspective what you should might want to add to the plan or take out of the plan because it doesn't make any
That's
sense
right.
anymore.
Sometimes you have to have thick skin.
Now, you all, true or false, you are the ones who also trigger the sirens
yes.
when there is an event which justifies that.
That's right.
Whether it be a weather usually is when people hear them.
Right. So our outdoor warning siren is it utilizes those sirens that are within 10 miles of the Catawba Nuclear Station. The sirens are owned and maintained by Duke and then operated by York County Emergency Management. And really the good folks that answer your 911 calls are actually the ones who are pressing the button to make it go off. We make the decision to set them off, and then they activate them for us. During weather events, typically tornado warnings in the county, we set them off. And, of course, during any kind of radiological event, we would use them. And it simply means to tune in to the radio or TV to find out further directions. The siren only makes one sound. We can't communicate anything other than that one sound. And so we try to educate the public to, if they hear it, to turn on their television or radio and find out what's going on. Again, they're outdoor warning sirens. A lot of times people will call us and say, I can't hear my siren down the block when I'm inside, and they're concerned about that. And the way houses are built now, they're airtight. They're designed not to let sound in. So it would be very difficult to have that many sirens to have people hear them inside of their home. And so for that, you know, we encourage weather alert radios, weather apps or alerting apps that you can put on your phone for that indoor scenario. So we're only targeting the people outside.
Now, do you trigger cell phones as well?
We can. So during weather events, that is typically triggered by the National Weather Service. During other events, we do have the capability to send phone calls, text messages, And then we can also use a system called iPause, which is a FEMA system that we can alert everyone's phone in a general vicinity of a cell phone tower.
So I tell you what, with all this technology, this is where technology is wonderful.
Yes, absolutely.
Because there is no way in the world you're going to miss what it is that you absolutely need to know.
Right.
Because, I mean, everybody has got a cell phone, right?
Yes.
Everybody's got a radio. Everybody's got a television. So no matter where you are, one of those devices is going to reach you.
We hope.
We hope. All right. We're going to take our mid-program break. When we come back, we're going to talk about September and what that should mean to you just in your way you think about being prepared for what may happen at any time. And that's going to be our second part of our program. We remind you that Straight Talk is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-64.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Chuck Haynes is with us today. He's York County's Emergency Management Director, and September is Emergency Preparedness Month, and we have talked about all the different types of emergencies that they are prepared to deal with. Now, you need help from the general public to do what they probably don't even think about until it's too late. Is that about right?
That's right. September gives us an opportunity to reach out to the public and encourage them to do some easy steps in order to make their life a little better and a little easier to bounce back from emergencies and disasters. And so the way the month is broken up is, of course, 4 weeks. And so we have four topics. And I'm here at the end of the month, but that's still we can still do it all at once. The biggest thing that we have to do at emergency management is we make plans and we revise plans. And so, you know, we ask families and individuals and, of course, businesses out there to make their own plan and to communicate that with their family and employees. And it can include everything from how to get alerts and warnings to sheltering, evacuation, how to communicate, and and then, you know, keeping in mind that we have to consider different age groups and different needs as far as elderly, our special medicines, and that sort of thing. So, you know, making a plan and just taking a minute to talk about what you would do if, you know, you couldn't reach your wife on the phone or something like that. You know, what are the steps that would happen? And to have that discussion, it just goes a long, long ways.
You know, when you think about something as simple about how should I get out of the house if a fire breaks out? Now, everybody's got, you know, a front door and a back door, but let's just assume that those are both engulfed in flames.
Yep.
How are you going to get out?
Yeah.
Right? You need to think that through. And then, you know, for instance, when the sirens go off, what am I supposed to do? Where should I be in the house?
Yep.
You probably should be in a bathroom or in a basement or somewhere. Sure. You don't want to be by a window. You don't want to be by a door.
Right.
Right?
For tornado scenarios, that's absolutely true. You know, if we kind of change that and the sirens go off and it's a radiological emergency, you know, we encourage people to tune in to local radio and TV to get directions on what to do. And, you know, a lot of times the direction may be, you know, just to stay inside and that sort of thing. But we have to think about escaping from our home and, you know, meeting at the mailbox maybe, but then take it a step further and say, well, what if we can't get into our neighborhood? Where should the family meet if we can't get into our neighborhood? And then sort of a little further, what if our town is impacted and we have to go to a different part of town? Where should we all go? And you know, kind of approach it from a broad perspective. You know, with our families, you know, mom, dads, kids everywhere, and they all come back to home in at night or in the afternoons after school. You know, what if that route's blocked? What if you can't get there? What's the scenario?
Well, you take it one step further, and I'm going back to 1989. When the Hurricane Hugo came through this town, we had so many trees down, you couldn't get in or get out
sure.
of neighborhoods. I can't even remember back to 89. But if that happened today, and everybody's so dependent upon cell service, and the towers are down,
yeah.
if you haven't thought through what you just talked about,
right.
nobody's going to know what to do in the family. Because they won't be able to communicate.
That's right. And the communication piece is just huge. We think, you know, we dial someone's number on our cell phone or hit their name and they instantly pick up. We get so used to that. And when they don't pick up, we panic. Remember the days of just calling a house and then no one answers and then you just have to call the house again later on and you just hope someone answers. You know, with cell phones, when it doesn't work or you get that busy signal, you have to have a plan B.
And that plan B might also include taking a little slip of paper and putting it in your wallet or your purse that has the phone numbers of those people, because we don't look at phone numbers anymore.
You're exactly right.
We just, you know, Chuck Haynes, press a button. I couldn't tell you what your number is.
You're
saved
exactly
my life. I bet you most people can't tell you what their wife's phone number is.
So true. I may be one of those. But yes, you're exactly right. You know, talking to our family and our kids about, you know, if the cell phone is busy, try sending a text. Typically, you have a better route to someone, especially when there's the towers are down or busy for that text to go through. And so, you know, setting up a text group of your family to communicate with everyone at one time, doing that ahead of time just makes it so much easier when there is an emergency or some type of event, just to be able to get that out. So,
all right, what's week number two?
Yep. So this one's pretty easy, making a kit. And you can go to ready.gov. It's a wonderful website. And find all the many things that should go in your kit. One thing we recommend, obviously, is the food and water, and then all the many, you know, medications and that sort of thing to go along with that. And if you're if you have to evacuate your home and leave and go somewhere and you have to take your pet, you need to plan for them also. So they are welcome in shelters or at the shelters. They won't be allowed inside the shelter. But so, you know, food and that sort of thing has to come with the pet.
Let me, again, I keep going back to 1989. But when Hurricane Hugo came through, the city's water system and the sewer system went down. I mean, they went down.
Sure.
That was the first order of business, trying to get those back up. It didn't take but, maybe a couple of days. But think about the fact that if you don't have any water and you can't flush the toilet, you got an issue.
That's right. Water is huge. If you know that there's a storm coming, you can do things like fill up buckets and bath water, bathtub to use that water later. But, you know, having just good old-fashioned bottled drinking water just goes a long way.
All right, week number three.
Week three is low-cost or no-cost preparedness. So this is stuff like putting apps on your cell phone to get alerts and signing up for warnings. If you go to York County Emergency Management's website, you can sign up for Code Red alerts. And we're able to communicate with the public through that.
What's your website?
York County, if you go to
York
County Government and just click on Departments and Emergency Management, that'll get
okay.
you there.
All right, week number four, because we're going to run out of time
here. Yep, the last one is talking to the our youth about preparedness and teaching them how to prepare themselves and what to do in case of emergencies. And, being able to have the conversation ahead of time about, you know, if you're at school and there's a tornado, this is how we're going to meet up, that sort of thing. It will alleviate anxiety on their part when they are away from their family. They know that this has already been thought about. And so communicating with that certainly takes away the stress and anxiety.
You know, it's not a question of when, not a question of if an emergency
That's
will
right.
happen. It's just a question of when.
Absolutely.
And what happens is, there's such a long period of time between, like, let's just say Hurricane Hugo. That was 89.
That's right.
It's a long time ago, But if something were to clobber us here today, I really wonder how many of us have even thought about any of this.
That's right.
That's probably your biggest nightmare.
It is, absolutely. And a personal preparedness tip, what they call them, pro tips, review your insurance plans. If you have insurance, review them. If you don't have insurance, consider it. If you're a renter, there's a wonderful thing called renter's insurance. Not enough people have those policies. And unfortunately, when there's a flood or a fire or something like that, we see on the back end those people having to suffer a little bit because they don't have that insurance.
Chuck Haynes, thank you for the work that you and emergency management do for the county. Appreciate you being on here today.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you soon. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2 between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. There's a magical way we do it. Most people here know about it, but we're going to tell all those who haven't been here yet how it's done. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio tonight for high school football. Begins at 6 o'clock on our OTS Sports Network. Have a good weekend. Bye.